The golden age of radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the golden age of radio, Joey Adams hosts the radio quiz show Rate Your Mate. We'll also hear The Raggedy Ann Show, and from 1930, Cecil and Sally starring Helen Troy and Johnny Patrick. Stay tuned for the golden age of radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the golden age of radio on WMKY 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, The Raggedy Ann Show, and from 1930, Cecil and Sally, starring Helen Troy and Johnny Patrick. Right now, Joey Adams hosts the radio quiz show Rate Your Mate, as WMKY presents the golden age of radio.
Think you know what your husband knows? You do? Then let's see how you rate your mate! It's Rate Your Mate, transcribed in New York, the show where it pays to know how much your mate knows about everything. And here's the man in charge of helping you rate your mate, Joey Adams!
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, this is my first night on this new CBS program, and I don't want to start right in complaining. But this is the same studio that Arthur Godfrey uses, and he left the place in a terrible mess. It took five men all day just to sweep out his old money. I'm really glad to be here as quizmaster on the show, because quiz programs are a big thing today. In fact, on some shows, you don't even have to be there to collect the money. They just call you on the phone and give it to you. It's getting so now that when a person answers the phone, they don't say, who is it anymore? They just say, how much? I've never seen people go so crazy for quiz shows. Of course, you hear of a lot of mix-ups on some of those shows. For instance, a man and his wife, friends of mine, won a beautiful electric blanket on a quiz show. They got it home and they couldn't use it because the fellow was AC and his wife was DC. The idea of this show, Rate Your Mate, is to find out just how much married or engaged folks really know about each other. And let's get into the interesting problems right now as we meet our first pair of mates. Who do we have, Hal Sims?
Here they are, Joey. It's Mr. and Mrs. Frank Fox. Meet Joey Adams.
Well, how do you do, Mr. and Mrs. Fox?
How do you do?
Before we play Rate Your Mate, let's find out something about you two. How long have you been married, Mr. Fox?
18 years.
I see. Any little foxes? I mean, do you have any children?
Well, I have a daughter that's 15 years old.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Fox, what do you do for a living?
I'm a chicken plucker.
A chicken plucker? What is that? Is it legal? I mean, what do you do? What do you do as a chicken plucker?
I pluck chickens.
You don't say, a chicken plucker who plucks chickens. That's a novelty. Last week I went to a nightclub and some chicken plucked me. Mr. Fox, you like your work, do you?
I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's natural. I never heard of a fox yet that wasn't after the chickens. Tell me, Mrs. Fox, while... Mrs. Fox, while all those chickens are losing their heads over your husband, what do you do?
Well, I'm just a housewife.
Oh, I imagine that's a full-time job. Does your husband help you with the housework?
Yes, he does.
How does he help you?
Well, he polishes my furniture. He waxes my floors.
I see. What else does he do?
Well, he vacuums the rugs.
Mm-hmm. Does he help you with the dishes?
Yes, he washes the dishes.
And he washes the dishes. Who dries them?
He does.
He dries them too, huh?
He certainly does.
Mr. and Mrs. Fox, will you tell me once again, which one of you did you say is the housewife? By the way, didn't you tell me you had a daughter, Mrs. Fox?
Yes, I have.
Well, doesn't she do any housework?
No, she doesn't.
I see. She's married too, eh? But tell me, why doesn't your daughter wash the dishes?
Well, she has beautiful nails and she doesn't like to spoil them.
And your husband, he doesn't have any fingernails. Tell me, Mr. Fox, who takes care of the money in your house, as if I didn't know?
My wife.
Your wife takes care of the money?
Yes, sir.
You don't have to say sir to me. You're not talking to your wife. Don't be nervous. I suppose you get some kind of allowance.
I get lunch money.
Good boy. You're certainly a strong man holding out for lunch money. That's wonderful. Mrs. Fox, how much lunch money do you give your husband?
Well, I never question him when it comes about food.
You give him whatever he wants.
I give him whatever he wants.
You're right. The poor man's got to keep his strength up. If he ever weakens, can you imagine what would happen to your house? Mr. Fox, with all your housework, do you have any time for yourself? I mean, do you have any hobbies?
Yes, sir.
What do you do for fun? Do you wash the windows or carry out the ashes? I mean, what is your hobby?
I like to go ice skating.
You like to, but does she let you? How about it, Mrs. Fox? Do you mind if your husband goes out with the boys once in a while?
No, I don't.
I think that's nice. It's the way it should be. I know another married couple who have an ideal arrangement. On Tuesday night, she gives her husband a night out with the boys. But it's 50-50 because every Friday night, she has a night out with the boys. Well, look, enough of this chit-chat. The time has come for you to rate your mate. And here's how we play this game. One of you, and one of you only, is going to be asked four questions, all of a general nature. Now, which one of you wants to tackle the question?
I think you should go.
Even this you want him to work?
Yeah.
You don't want to strain yourself at all right. We can even let you think, too, Mr. Fox. Now that the decision has been made, we're going to see that you're taken off stage to a soundproof booth where you won't be able to hear a thing we're saying out here until we press the right button. That's all you have to know right now. Goodbye and good luck. Now, I'm going to ask your husband four questions, and you must tell me before he answers whether he's going to be right or wrong. In other words, we don't care which way he answers the question, so long as you can predict in advance whether he knows the answer or not. If you say he's going to be wrong and he is wrong, you win $25. But if you say he's going to be wrong and he answers right, you win 25 cents. Okay, here we go with the first question. You think he'll be able to answer this one? A 25th wedding anniversary is a silver one. Can you tell me what the first one is? Do you think he'll know that?
I don't think so.
You don't think he knows anything?
No. He knows the silver, but I don't think he'll know the first one.
Okay. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
All right.
If you're a little lonely, I'll send you in some washing. Mr. Joe, what's his first name?
Frank.
Frank. Here's your first question.
Yes.
The 25th wedding anniversary is the silver one. Can you tell me what the first one is?
The silver one.
You're wrong, but you win $25. Your wife said you wouldn't guess it, and you didn't guess it, so you win $25. See you in just a little while. Well, so far you have $25. Here is your second question. What is Babe Ruth's real first name?
I don't think he'll know it.
You don't think he'll know it? No, we'll find out in just a little while. Hello.
Hello.
Here is your second question. We want to see if your wife rated you correctly. What is Babe Ruth's real first name?
George.
You are right, but you lose. Your wife said you didn't know it, and you did, so you win 25 cents. Incidentally, so far on the scoreboard, you have $25.25. Here's your chance to win another $25. What kind of a noise does a seal make? You think he'll know that?
Yes, I do.
You think he will? Hello?
Hello?
What kind of a noise does a seal make? What does it sound like?
Sounds like a...
A what?
Like a dog.
You're right. I knew this. And now here's your fourth and last question. Which is the sheerest stocking, a 15 denier or a 30 denier? Do you think he'll know that?
I don't think so.
You don't think he knows anything about stockings?
No.
All right, here we go. Hello.
Hello.
Which is the sheerest stocking, a 15 denier or a 30 denier?
A 30.
A 30, you are wrong, but you win. Your wife said you wouldn't know it, and you didn't, so you win another $25. The scoreboard says you have a total of $75.25. Good luck to you, and thanks for joining us to play Rate Your Mate.
Joey, let's see how much our next couple knows about each other. Mr. and Mrs. Pepik, meet Joey Adams.
How do you do, Mr. and Mrs. Pepik?
How do you do, Joey?
Welcome to Rate Your Mate. Where are you people from?
We're from the state of Washington.
I see. And what are you doing in New York?
We're here on a honeymoon.
A honeymoon, eh? How long have you been married?
4 years.
Mr. Pepik, you waited 4 years before you took your bride on a honeymoon?
That's right, Joe.
Well, that's sensible. Why spend a lot of money on your wife until you're sure you like her? But tell me, why didn't you go on a honeymoon right after you were married?
Well, we had a sort of a honeymoon, but he broke his leg just before we were married, and, well, it was kind of inconvenient.
How did you break it?
We're hiking.
On a hiking trip?
Yes.
Now, you're an outdoor man, eh? What kind of sports do you go in for, you two?
Well, we're always hiking, or bowling, or fishing, or skating, horseback riding.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any children?
No, we haven't.
I don't wonder. Where would you find the time? Well, Mrs. Pepik, with no children, what do you do all day?
I'm a registered nurse.
A registered nurse, eh? Mr. Pepik, you're pretty smart to marry a nurse. It's much cheaper than having them come in by the day. Now, Mr. Pepik, what do you do for a living?
I'm a patrolman at the Hanford Works at Richland, Washington.
Oh, the Atomic Project, is that it? What do you do there?
Well, Joe, I'm sorry, I can't tell you.
Oh, it's a secret.
He doesn't even tell me.
Well, but that's an ideal job for a husband. He comes home at night and his wife asks him, what did you do today, dear? He can say, none of your business, darling. Well, thank you very much, Mr. and Mrs. Pepik. The game must go on, so now's the time for one of you to rate your mate. Which one of you wants to answer the question?
Let Joe do it.
Joe is going to answer. Well, right. Joe, now that the decision has been made, we're going to see that you take it off stage to a soundproof booth where you won't be able to hear a thing we're saying out here until we press the right button. Let's briefly review the idea. I'll ask Joe Pepik 4 questions, and before each question, Mrs. Pepik will have to tell me whether Mr. Pepik will answer these questions right or wrong. Now, how do you think he will do on this first question? If you were to eat a soft-boiled egg with a sterling silver spoon, what most likely would happen to the spoon? Do you think he'll answer that?
Yeah, I think he'll get that one right.
You think he'll get that one right? Well, we'll find out in just a minute. Hiya, sir.
Hello, Joe.
Here's your question. If you were to eat a soft-boiled egg with a sterling silver spoon, what most likely would happen to the spoon?
I believe it would tarnish.
Absolutely right, and you win. Your mate predicted you would know it, and you did, so you win $25. You'll have a chance in a little while to win some more, so hold on, will you? And here is your second question. Al Jolson made the anniversary song famous with the words, "Oh, how we danced on the night we were wed." Now, according to the rhythm of the song, what dance did they dance?
He doesn't dance, so I don't think he'd know it.
You don't think he'd know it? Well, we'll find out in just a little while. Hiya.
Hiya, Joe.
Here's your second question. Al Jolson made the anniversary song famous with the words, "Oh, how we danced on the night we were wed." Now, according to the rhythm of the song, what dance did they dance?
Anniversary waltz?
You are right, but you lose. Your wife said you didn't know it, and you did know it, but you do get 25 cents. I'll see you in just a little while. So far, the scoreboard says you both have $25.25, and here's your chance at $25 more. From which fighter did Joe Louis win the heavyweight title? Do you think he'll know that one?
I don't think so.
You think he'll be wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Hiya.
Hiya.
Here's your third question. From which fighter did Joe Louis win the heavyweight title?
I I believe from Jack Dempsey.
You are wrong, but you win. Your wife said you didn't know it, and you didn't know it. Here's your fourth question. I'm going to give you the second line of a famous quotation from Shakespeare. You give me the first line. I come to bury Caesar, not to praise him. Do you think he'll know the first line?
I don't think so.
Hello.
Hello, Joe.
I'm going to give you the second line of a famous quotation from Shakespeare. You give me the first line. I come to bury Caesar, not to praise him. Do you know the first line?
I'm sorry, I can't answer that.
Well, you are wrong, but you win. Your mate said you'd miss that one, so you get $25. You have a total on the scoreboard of $75.25, and thank you both for joining us to play Rate Your Mate.
Now, Joey, I'd like you to meet two charming people, Mr. and Mrs. Frank Batug. Meet Joey Adams.
How do you do, Mr. and Mrs. Batig?
How do you do, Joey?
Hello. Nice to have you here on Rate Your Mate. Where do you two people make your home?
In New Jersey.
Any particular town, or are you just camping out?
No, we live in Irvington.
Irvington? Whereabouts is that?
You know where Newark is?
No, why? Is it missing? Because I really think New Jersey is a wonderful state. How about you, Mrs. Batig? Are you a native of New Jersey?
No, I'm not. I come from outside of New Jersey.
Outside of New Jersey? That's a big place. Just where are you from?
I'm from Austria.
Austria? Well, that's outside of New Jersey. Well, you certainly speak perfect English. How long have you been in this country?
I've been here 3 years.
3 years, and you speak so well, it's amazing. I've got a brother-in-law who's lived in Brooklyn all his life, and I can't understand a word he says. Well, Mrs. Batug, tell me, where did you meet your wife?
I met her over in Austria in the Army.
Really? What was she doing in the Army?
No, I mean...
you were in the Army, I see. But how did you happen to meet her?
Well, I was at a dance in the Army. Saw this fellow dancing with her, so I walked up to him and asked him if I could cut in.
Well, what did he say?
Yes.
Now, Vera, while he was dancing with this other fellow, what did you do? Vera, did he propose to you right there at the dance?
No, he shipped back to the States right afterwards.
Mm-hmm. He just joined the Army for that one dance, eh? Well, when did you next see him?
Back here.
In this country. What were you doing here?
Well, I was teaching dancing at a dancing school.
And what happened?
I was giving a lesson and Frank walked in from out of nowhere.
I thought he was from New Jersey. And Vera, did you teach him how to dance?
I taught him some lessons.
Uh-huh. Then what?
Then I married him.
Boy, that's really teaching him a lesson. Vera, do you still teach dancing?
No, I don't.
That's the way it goes. A fella finds a girl who's got a good job, so he marries her, and then she quits. Well, you know, the way you two people have met is really very interesting, and I'm very excited about it. I know everybody else is. You met in Austria, got together by accident here in New York, and got married in New Jersey. Is that right, Frank?
No, we didn't get married in New Jersey.
Where did you get married?
In my hometown.
Where's that?
Niagara Falls.
Niagara Falls is your hometown?
That's right.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? You get married, you step outside, you're on your honeymoon. Well, now let's see how much you people know about each other. See if you can rate your mate correctly. Now that we've talked to you both, let's get busy and see how you rate your mate. Which one of you wants to answer the question?
I will.
You will? Well, thank you very much. Off to the isolation chamber with you. And incidentally, we'll see how well you know your spouse. Remember, it doesn't matter whether she answers the question correctly or not, but it does matter that you're able to predict which way she will answer. $25 if you guess right, 25 cents if you guess wrong. Now, how do you think she'll be able to cope with this first question? If you saw a package of flour with four X's on it, would that flour be a very finely ground flour or a coarsely ground flour?
I think she'll be able to answer that correctly.
You think she will? We'll find out in just a minute. Hello.
Hello.
Here is your first question. If you saw a package of flour with four X's on it, would that flour be a very finely ground flour or a coarsely ground flour?
Very fine.
You are right and you win. Your husband said you would know it, and you did, so you win $25. Here is the second question for your spouse, and do you think she'll know this one? In boxing, when one fighter is knocked down and can't get up right away, how many seconds elapse before he is considered knocked out?
I don't think she'll know that.
You don't think she will? Well, we'll find out in just a minute. Hello?
Yes?
Here is your second question. In boxing, when one fighter is knocked down and can't get up right away, how many seconds elapse before he is considered knocked out?
Well, I don't know.
You are wrong, but you win. Your husband predicted that you wouldn't know it, and you didn't, so you win $25. On the scoreboard so far, you have $50. Here's your third question. I'm going to give you the second line of a famous pair of lines. You give me the first line. Repent at leisure, or leisure. You think she'll know the first part of it? Repent at leisure.
No, I'm pretty sure she won't know that.
You don't think she will? Well, we'll find out in just a minute. I'm going to give you the second line of a famous pair of lines. You give me the first line. Repent at leisure.
Not know it.
You are wrong, but you win. And here is the fourth question, and your chance for a perfect score or $100. Is the bow on a man's hat generally on the left side or on the right side? You think she'll know that one?
Yes, I think she'll know that one.
You think she will? Well, we'll find out in just a little minute. Keep your fingers crossed. Hello?
Yes?
Here's your fourth and last chance. Is the bow on a man's hat generally on the left side or on the right side?
On the left side.
You are right, and you win. Your mate predicted you'd know it, and you did, so you win a total of $100, and thanks to you both for helping us play Rate Your Mate.
Here to play Rate Your Mate, Joey, are Mr. and Mrs. Frank Quinn. Meet Joey Adams.
How do you do, Mr. and Mrs. Quinn?
Hello, Joe.
Well, do you people think you know each other well enough to win some money tonight on Rate Your Mate? How about it, Mr. Quinn?
I hope so.
How long have you been married?
38 years.
38 years. Boy, that's a long time to be with a woman. Of course, it's even longer to be without one. Hey, Mrs. Quinn, you're married 38 years. Do you have any grandchildren?
Yes, I have two, Cliff and Lorraine.
Mm-hmm. Two grandchildren, eh? Any children?
We have three children.
That's very good. Children come in very handy if you plan to have grandchildren. Mrs. Quinn, how did you and your husband meet 38 years ago? Do you remember, or are you trying to forget?
Oh, I remember all right. We met in Coney Island.
Is that right, Mr. Quinn?
That's where I found her.
Found her? Did you ever find out who lost her? Mrs. Quinn, just where in Coney Island did he pick you up? I mean, meet you.
Oh, no, you were right the first time.
Then tell me, Romeo, how did you happen to get her?
Well, I was pitching balls in one of those places where they give prizes.
And that's where you won her. You know, the prizes were better in those days. Well, Mrs. Quinn, after you became better acquainted, exactly what happened?
Well, we went dancing, and then we walked over to the roller coaster, and he took me for a ride.
I see. Then you got married and took him for a ride. Mr. Quinn, do you ever go back to Coney Island?
Oh, about once a year.
Still trying to find out who lost her, eh? But I really think it's wonderful being married 38 years. Perhaps you have some advice for young brides on how to get along with their husbands. For example, When your husband goes shopping for a suit, do you go with him?
I certainly do.
Why, don't you trust him to buy the right thing?
Well, the salesman could sell him anything. He's just like a child.
You mean you buy his suits in the boys' department? Mr. Quinn, I bet you look adorable in rompers. How about when you go shopping, Mrs. Quinn? If you want to buy a hat, for instance, does Mr. Quinn go with you?
Well, sometimes, but he don't enter the stores. He stays outside and smokes.
He smokes, huh? Well, he's different anyway. When the wife is buying a new hat, most husbands stay outside and burn. Well, you're both very nice people, and we're happy to have you with us tonight. So let's get busy right now and see how you rate your mate. Have you decided which one of you will try to answer the question?
I think my husband will.
You think your husband will? All right, then. Off you go to the isolation chamber, Mr. Quinn. And Mrs. Quinn and I will try to figure this out together. Now, keep the big idea in mind. It's not whether your mate knows the answer to the questions. It's whether you know what he knows. So tell me what you think about this first one. What is Cupid's first name?
Well, I think he might.
He might know it because...
If he's a little romantic, he might remember.
Well, if he won you at one of those ball games, then he'll know about it. Hello?
Hello.
Hiya, lover boy. See if you can find the answer to this question. What is Cupid's first name?
Dan.
You are right, and you win. Mate said you would know it, and you did, so you win $25. I'll be back in a moment with another question. Mrs. Quinn, do you think he'll know this one? Which one of the four bases on a baseball diamond is not a sandbag?
I think he might know
you
that.
You think he might know it? Hiya, Lockenbach.
Fine.
Good. Which one of the four bases on a baseball diamond is not a sandbag?
The home plate.
You are right, and you win. You have a total of $50, and I'll be back with more money in just a little while. Here is your third question. What is the name of the storybook character whose nose grew longer every time he told a fib?
I think he might.
You think he might know? Well, we'll find out. Hiya, sweetie.
All right.
What is the name of the storybook character whose nose grew longer every time he told a fib?
Pinocchio.
You are right, and you win. It is Pinocchio, so far on the scoreboard, you have $75, and we'll be back in a moment. Now, here is his fourth and last question. Some people use the expression, crazy as a loon. Now then, what actually is a loon?
I'll say no on that one.
You don't think he would know it? Well, we'll find out. Hello?
Hello.
Some people use the expression, crazy as a loon. Now then, what actually is a loon?
It's a bird, I believe.
You are right. But you lose. Your wife said you wouldn't know it, and you did, so you win 25 cents. Your total on the scoreboard is $75.25, and thanks to both of you for joining us in playing Rate Your Mate.
I'm sorry, Joey, but we can't have any more contestants tonight.
What's the matter? Did we run out of money?
No, we ran out of time.
Too bad. I had so much fun talking to all these happily married couples. It's so inspiring. Reminds me of what that very famous philosopher once said about happy marriages. His name was, I can't think of what his name was. No, I can't think of what he said. Good night, everybody.
So long, Joey, and so long to you all. Until next week, same time. And we hope you'll be with us to Rate Your Mate. Rate Your Mate is a Mark Foots and Bill Todman production. Associate producer, Peter Arnell. Rate Your Mate was transcribed in New York. This is Hal Sims speaking.
You're listening to the Golden Age of Radio and Rate Your Mate, hosted by Joey Adams.
Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s when the golden age of radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, from 1930, Cecil and Sally starring Helen Troy and Johnny Patrick. But first, here's the Raggedy Ann Show, as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Come on, Luana, Johnny, Evelyn, Frank, are you ready?
Is it time, Raggedy Ann?
Oh, not yet, Raggedy Andy. Oh, but soon now, and I want all the boys and girls to be here. Larry, Jeannie, Susan, O'John!
My Raggedy Ann, come out when you can.
Of course you know Raggedy Ann, the loving, lovable doll that lives in the hearts and homes of millions everywhere. And now she's brought to life on the air by RCA Victor, makers of the finest in records and albums for boys and girls. Fun, excitement, stories, and music. All on your RCA Victor record. Just put it on your Victrola radio phonograph and let her spin. You'll have the best time you ever had, anytime, just as many times as you want. Just make sure your records and phonograph bear the famous Victor dog trademark of RCA Victor. It's almost 5 o'clock, and the door of the RCA Victor toy and record shop has just closed for the day. As you know, this big door closes out the world, and then all the dolls, the clowns, the electric trains, and the monkey on the string all go to sleep. That is, all except Raggedy Ann and her twin brother, Raggedy Andy.
To get over to the music box. It's almost time for the good fairy. Oh, there.
Hello, Raggedy Ann. Raggedy Andy.
Hello, good fairy.
You're going to tell us a story? Come on, tell us a story.
Wait, stop bouncing up and down, Andy. I know you're waiting for a story. But first, I want to know if anything exciting happened in the store today.
Oh, yeah. Certainly was awful, good fairy. A little boy came in with his mother, who was buying him a present. And he picked up a pop gun and he shot it right at Toto the Tumbling Clown.
Oh, dear.
Why do little boys do things like that?
Because they're little boys. Now, Andy, you stay away from that pop gun.
I was only looking at it.
Well, I guess even boy dolls will be boy dolls. Oh, but now your story, good fairy. The story, please.
Yeah, please.
Well, it's all about Peter Churchmouse. This is a story I heard right from a man who lives right next door to the church where Peter lives.
Oh, yes?
Mm-hmm. Oh, he knows it upside down and backwards. And here's how he told it to me.
Once upon a time, there was a very small mouse named Peter Churchmouse. Now, Parson Pease Porridge had a wonderful pipe organ and a very fine collection basket lined with red felt, and a lot of handsome hymn books, and a big, beautifully bound Bible that always lay right in the middle of the desk in his study. Peter Church Mouse thought these things were very nice, especially the pipe organ, because it sounded so nice when he ran up and down its keys. But Parson Pease Porridge had two things that Peter Church Mouse thought were not at all nice. Very bad eyesight, and he had a terrible big wooden rat trap. He had such bad eyesight that he couldn't see Peter Church Mouse at all, so he never left anything out for Peter to eat. And poor Peter had to chew corners off the hymn books and chew holes in the red felt lining of the collection basket to make Parson Pease Porridge think there were some rats in his church so that he would put cheese on the rat trap. That cheese was all Peter ever had to eat. It was very hard on his nerves. And to soothe them, Peter would make a poem every night after he had eaten his cheese. One night when he had finished, he raised his eyebrows the way he always did when he was going to make a poem, and then he jumped up onto the keys of Parson Pease Porridge's pipe organ. Well, the next morning when Parson Pease Porridge came into the church, he looked at his best collection basket. "I'll be twitched," he cried. "These rats will be the ruination of me. How can I collect the collection with a hole in the collection basket? Why, the money will just fall right back into the congregation's pockets." "I know what I'll do," he said. "If my rat trap won't catch these rats, I'll get a cat."
Oh, gee, poor Peter Church Mouse.
"And does the cat eat them all up? I betcha. I just betcha."
"Now, wait a minute, Andy. I want you to hear this just as I heard it. Well, you can imagine how Peter felt when he first saw the cat."
"Hello," he said. The kitten walked away from the bowl of milk and sat down and looked at Peter. "I am afraid of cats," said Peter. "Are you a cat?" And the kitten said, "Who, me? No, I'm not a cat. I'm a kitten, and my name is Gabriel. Say, are you a rat?" "Who, me?" said Peter. "No, I'm only a poor church mouse, and my name is Peter." "Hiya, Peter," said Gabriel. "I'm glad you're not a rat, because I like you, and I'm supposed to scare the rats away, the rats that have been eating holes in things." "Well," said Peter, "I'm glad you're not a cat, because I like you, too. Say, would you like to hear me play a piece on Parson Pease Porridge's pipe organ?" "I should say I would," said Gabriel. "What piece will you play?" "Oh," said Peter, "I'll play the piece that Parson Pease Porridge played just now. Only I'll play it better." And he jumped to the keys of the pipe organ. "That was better," Gabriel said. "Only it didn't have any bass notes in it the way it did when Parson Pease Porridge played it." "That," said Peter, "is because the bass note keys are way down there." And he pointed down to the bass keys near the floor. "Parson Pease Porridge plays them with his feet," said Peter. "In that case," Gabriel said, "I'll play the bass notes with my feet." And she walked over to the foot of the pipe organ. "Now then," she said, "let's go."
Together, Peter on the keys and Gabriel on the foot pedal.
Gee, the cat didn't even touch him.
Oh,
Andy. Well, anyway, Peter heard the parson say that when little children drink a lot of milk, they grow big and strong. So for days and days, he drank almost all of Gabriel's milk.
Oh, and did he get big?
As big as a rat?
Oh, no. No, his little tummy just puffed out a bit more. Oh. He looked like a pudgy little ball of gray wool. Oh. Well, after a while, the parson got angry when he had to keep filling Gabriel's saucer again and again. And each time he'd say, "I'll be twitched.
I'll be twitched."
Oh, they tried all sorts of things to get Parson Pease Porridge to notice Peter. And then Peter got an idea.
What?
The little red bed he always slept on. Why, he put that right on the parson's desk.
Oh, I bet that worked.
Alas, no. Oh, the parson saw it all right, but all he said was, "I wondered where my red mitten was," and he just picked it up and put it in his pocket.
Oh, hush up.
Well, Peter Church Mouse was so discouraged and disappointed, he ran to the keys of the pipe organ and composed another one of his little poems, all about his bed and his predicament.
I had a very lovely bed. My very lovely bed was red. But now it's gone and I have none. I have no place to lay my head. How very, very, very sad. The only bed I ever had.
Oh, what a predicament. Anna's so sad.
Girls, always looking for something to cry about.
Well, they tried everything, Peter and Gabriel, even making footprints on the parson's Sunday sermon. And that was when they hit on the most colossal super idea of all.
Oh, what was that?
Well, Peter Churchmouse bit a big hole right in the middle of the sermon Parson Pease Porridge was going to give that very same Sunday.
Good for Peter. I bet that put the parson in the hole.
Oh, it was a beauty, all right, and it couldn't be missed. Well, even Gabriel the kitten had to marvel at it.
My, admired Gabriel. The biggest hole I ever saw.
The biggest hole I ever bit, cried Peter. If that won't make him notice me, I'm sure I don't know what will.
Now, the next morning, it was Sunday, Parson Pease Porridge came in with his new spectacles on and picked up his sermon.
Upon my soul, he cried, these are not footnotes, these are footprints. I have a church mouse, and the poor little fellow has eaten all these holes in things to tell me he's hungry.
And he went out and got the biggest piece of cheese Peter had ever seen. Then he looked at the big hole right through the middle of his sermon. Huh, he said. Owing to this slight accident, I must find a new sermon for today. So I shall speak about kindness to very little animals. Peter Church Mouse and Gabriel were so happy, they jumped right to the keys of Parson Pease Porridge's pipe organ.
Oh, I'm so glad, good fairy, that everything worked out all right.
No, it was okay. But I wonder what would have happened if Gabriel was a real big tomcat and Peter was a real fierce rat.
Oh.
Jiminy, I bet you that would have led to a fight, all right.
Oh, what story are you going to have for us next time?
Well, I'll tell you all about that in just a moment, Raggedy Ann. And I can promise you it'll be a lot of exciting fun.
And thank you for that moment, good fairy. Because I want to tell all the boys and girls about that wonderful RCA Victor album about Peter Churchmouse. Yes, what we've heard today is just a tiny taste of the fun and adventure Peter and Gabriel have. You can easily tell the album, too. On the front, in red and green and yellow, there's a picture of Peter Churchmouse himself, biting his way through Parson Pease Porridge hymn book. Oh, by the way, that man who lives right next door to the church, you know, the one the good fairy told us about, well, he tells you the whole story himself. Of course, Peter and Gabriel have more songs and poems when they take over the pipe organ. It's a beauty. The Peter Churchmouse album. And it's waiting for you right now at the Melody Music Shop, your RCA Victor dealer.
Well, Raggedy Ann, Raggedy Andy, here's our story for next time.
What's it going to be?
It's about the smallest and the most unhappy musical instrument in the whole band.
Oh, what is it?
Pee-wee the piccolo. Oh, he has a dreadful time competing with all those bigger and shinier and deeper instruments. But then, after a lot of exciting adventures, he...
What?
Oh, well, we don't want to go into that right now because... Well, that's my surprise for next time. Goodbye, Raggedy Ann.
Goodbye, good fairy. Oh, say, Andy, we have to get going, too. We have to get a little sleep.
Oh, yes, another busy day in the store tomorrow. Being picked up and down.
Well, goodbye, Luana, Alan, Robert, Charlotte, Michael.
My Raggedy Ann.
So long, Raggedy Ann, Raggedy Andy. Be with us, boys and girls, when RCA Victor brings you another Raggedy Ann show with Paula Stone. Don't forget, it's all about Pee-wee the Piccolo. And don't forget something else, too. Get your mom or dad to take you to the Melody Music Shop and listen to the Peter Church Mouse album. Oh, I'll bet they'll love it, too. See you Wednesday, then. So long.
Come, kids, play with your raggedy ass.
First course, cream soup. Just before serving, add a generous amount of Pabstet cut into small cubes and watch that cream soup hit a new high in appetizing goodness. Next, a main dish. And our suggestion is eggs golden sauce. Hard-cooked eggs drenched with the mellow cheddar cheese goodness of Pabstet. Now, a grand salad. Press two halves of a pear together with a tasty center filling of Pabstet and serve with lettuce and mayonnaise. And for dessert, apple pie served with Pabstet wedges. There you have it, menu magic from soup to dessert with Pabstet. And you'll find dozens of other exciting ways to surprise your family with this nourishing, wholesome cheese food. So tomorrow, look for, ask for, and buy Pabstet. Remember the name, Pabstet.
Well, good night, Cecil.
Oh, you don't have to go in yet, Sally.
Well, it's pretty late.
Oh, all right then.
I had a nice time, thanks.
Yeah. Movie and ice cream soda.
Well, I enjoyed it, Cecil.
Yeah, wonderful time. I'll bet you were overcome.
Oh, goodness, Cecil, don't be so sour. What's the matter?
Oh, nothing. I'm just fed up.
On what?
Oh, things.
Well, Cecil, why should you jump down my throat when I just tell you I had a good time? That's no way to say good night.
Oh, I'm sorry. Good night, Sally.
Wait a minute, Cecil. What's eating you? You've been acting funny for the last week or so.
Bunk. I've been just the same.
You've been acting funny ever since last week when I wanted to go downtown dancing with Alexander.
Well, why didn't you go? I didn't stop you.
You did?
Why, Sally, I didn't say a word.
I know you didn't, but nevertheless, you stopped me.
How?
Well, I didn't think I'd have a good time with him.
Oh.
Are you still jealous?
Oh, don't get that idea. That's out.
Well, something is the matter with you, then. I'm sure I haven't done anything. You act like you've lost your last friend.
Well, I was sort of counting on something.
What was it, Cecil?
Oh, you wouldn't understand.
How do you know I wouldn't until I know what it is?
That's right, too.
What's the matter? Did you plan on buying a new tie and then didn't have enough money?
Oh, it's more serious than that.
Why, Cecil, what could be more serious to you?
Well, now, lots of things.
For instance?
Well, I'll tell you. You see, it's like this.
Oh, lovely. I just love confessions.
How did you guess?
I didn't, did I?
Well, you see, Sally, I wrote a story.
Well, that's no reason to feel bad.
And I sent it in to the magazine.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, but they sent it back today.
And you didn't even tell me you were. What was it, Cecil?
Well, one night I was reading one of those confession magazines, and I thought, gosh, and they get paid for writing that. Why, I can write something better than that.
And so you did, huh?
Yeah, but I guess it wasn't any better.
Well, what did you confess, Cecil?
Oh, I made up something. A lot of bunk.
Cecil, to write a confession story, you have to have something to confess.
Well, you can make them up. No one knows the difference.
What was the name of it, Cecil?
You don't want to know.
Oh, sir, I do. That's why I asked.
Well, I called it My Life of Sin.
Oh, Cecil.
It's funny, isn't it?
No wonder they sent it back. But that's no reason to feel discouraged.
Well, I sort of counted on them taking it.
And now you're disheartened?
Uh-huh. I was so darn confident. It meant a lot.
Well, you might know they wouldn't take it, Cecil. You have to know how to write. You have to be clever and not have just silly daydreams.
Thanks. That helps about silly daydreams.
Oh, I'm sorry, Cecil. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
Oh, that's all right.
Cecil, you're taking this awfully serious. Why should you care if they send your old story back?
It wasn't an old story.
You act like it was a matter of life and death.
Well, it was important.
Why were you so anxious to send it in the first place?
Search me.
Why did you, Cecil?
You want to know why I sent it and why it is important?
Well, that's only what I've been asking you for the past hour.
We haven't been talking about it an hour.
Well, why did you think you could write a story, Cecil?
Well, I saw a lot of pictures of famous people who write stories, and
And you thought you looked like them, huh?
No. They looked kind of stupid, and I thought I looked smarter than they did.
But you weren't, huh?
No, I guess not.
Well, what was it made you send it in, Cecil? Go ahead, out with it.
Well, I wanted to make some money.
Who doesn't?
Oh, but I wanted it for a good reason.
You don't have to have a reason to want more money.
Oh, I'm tired of never having any money. I'm tired of just making a little old dab of money. Not enough to do anything on.
Oh, don't be silly, Cecil. You can't expect to make a whole lot.
Why can't I?
You're not old enough. You can't build Rome in a day.
I'm not trying to build Rome.
Well, you've got to work at one thing and work hard to ever get any place.
Since when have you become a philosopher?
You should be satisfied.
Well, that's easy to say.
You're making as much as anybody, as much as any of the clerks do down at the store.
That's not enough.
Enough for what?
Oh, to do things and go places.
Oh, who wants to go places?
Well, you do. It's only natural, and I do too.
Cecil, was it for me? I mean, was it because you wanted to take me places that you were so disappointed about your story coming back?
Oh, Sally, I'm so darn tired of never having enough to take you to all the shows and down to the hotels dancing. Oh, it gets my goat.
Aw, and here I was kidding you about the story. Oh, Cecil.
Oh, I didn't mind. It's that Alexander guy. He wants to take you places and always has plenty of money to do it on. That gets under my skin, I guess.
Cecil, that's the sweetest thing you've ever done. You tried to make more money so you could take me to more shows and more dinners and dances.
Well, I wasn't going to tell you. I hate not to be able to take you places that you ought to go. Other fellows can.
Who?
Oh, Alexander and...
Well, he's lucky to have wealthy parents.
You'd probably rather be with him half the time, huh?
You want to know something?
What?
Well, I'd rather be with you than anybody I know.
Honest?
Mm-hmm. Cross my heart and hope to die.
Well, bless me, bless me. To heck with the old confession story.
What was the name of it again, Cecil?
My Life of Sin. It's really pretty good, too.
Well, Cecil, your life of sin is over. Don't bother about me wanting to go places anymore. I'd rather have a hot dog with you than a turkey sandwich with Alexander.
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY, Cecil and Sally, starring Helen Troy and Johnny Patrick, first broadcast on radio on April 3rd, 1930. We also heard The Raggedy Ann Show, starring Paula Stone. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows. On the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at this same time and channel on WMKY 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.